Fast Eddie here at the EAA Radio Studios. With me today, we have Joe McMillan of Drone Terminus. Joe, how are you?
I'm doing well, thanks.
Drone Terminus, this sounds interesting here. I get the feeling you're doing something with unmanned aerial vehicles.
That's correct. What we're really doing is we want to make the proposition of drone delivery available to everyone, basically make it a reality sooner than later.
You know, there's a lot of possibilities for this, but there's also a lot of hurdles. There's a fair amount of people that just really don't want to have these things buzzing all over everywhere.
That's true, but there are a lot of benefits provided versus terrestrial carriers that I think might outweigh the public opinion, especially once they see the technology in action, what you can really achieve with it, the almost instantaneous gratification as well as cost savings associated. I think that people's opinions of that might change. You know, one of the benefits that we can provide is reducing the risk and liability associated with the possibility of collision. Well, we're automating the entire process so that humans aren't involved in package retrieval until it's already been delivered.
One of the things that I have noticed is that some of the later model quadcopters, the Phantom comes to mind, Phantom 4, it's got terrain avoidance features. That I find very interesting. I have no idea how they do it, but I'm assuming that should your program get off the ground, you're going to be doing a lot with terrain avoidance.
Yes, one of the things that we're doing is actually providing augmented sense and avoidance data to that drone to make it aware of its surroundings the best that we can. So the more data anything has, the better decisions that can be made. What we're doing is a ground-up approach, so we can see with our cameras, we're using thermal camera captures and ultra-wideband scanning, the surroundings around our appliance as well as upward to determine if there are any hazards or anomalies in the general area. In such an event, we can communicate a real-time order to that drone, you know, put it in a hover mode, go back home, go to another appliance, or just, you know, it's all clear, green light to go ahead and land. So that's one of the things that we are providing to those people who are fleet operators, such as an Amazon or Google, is augmenting that data that they need to safely deliver a package.
So, in other words, it is going to be fully autonomous, but there's also the possibility of human intervention too. You're going to have somebody watching this thing while it is out flying around.
That is incorrect with our proposed business method. We're waiting until after 2019 when NASA completes their UTM. This is built for autonomous drones, delivery drones. So we will. We're going to begin testing in foreign markets where the technology is being where it's more lenient. The regulations are more lenient. As opposed to here in the U.S., where they're still working out the kinks and trying to determine and generate a traffic control system for autonomous flight. We can test in certain states here in the U.S. where BVLOS is available for testing, but the ideal for us is we're going to let people like Amazon figure out that portion of the technology. What we're really doing is taking control of the last foot, if you will, and making it as safe and reliable and efficient as possible.
The last foot of the flight.
The last foot of delivery, yeah. We're taking control of that and giving them the data they need, as well as doing things like providing recharging capabilities and also storage of the package itself for retrieval by the customer when they're ready.
Wow. Sounds like it's going to be a very interesting setup when you get it working.
Yeah, there's a lot of components that are working in it. We're really trying to provide a universal appliance. So because there are multiple players in the market, it's not just Amazon. There are other smaller companies. There's also Google involved in this market, or a lot of big high-tech companies pursuing this technology because of the benefits of cost savings mostly, but to own the whole process from, you know, pick at a warehouse to final delivery to the customer, they can own that instead of using a middleman.
Do you see any possible advantages of using this technology in the medical field?
Yes, definitely. Well, one of the things we're incorporating into our appliance is also temperature control for perishables, blood, tissue, etc. So what now we're talking about is transport from one terminus to another instead of Amazon to the consumer, which is the current proposed method, where they own the fleet and they own the infrastructure, and basically you or I can't really take advantage of it, only as a customer, not as a deliverer. With our appliance in place, you can send a package from one appliance to another. So now, commercial entities, business to business, small business can take advantage of this delivery technology, including a medical lab to a hospital. Now, currently, you have a car driver who's, you know, probably salaried. They have insurance. They're paying for gas. They're also clogging up the road. With a drone, you can deliver the same materials cheaper and quicker. But also, it can be stored now and kept at a temperature-controlled environment, because the journey itself, we can't really temperature control other than insulation. But once it arrives and it's sitting in our appliance, we can keep a constant temperature. We're going to know what that package is prior to its arrival, because it's going to be a scheduled flight. We're going to know where it's coming from, the final destination, and basically have all that data available to us.
You know, there you've got a lot of hurdles to cross here, because there are a tremendous amount of people that are absolutely opposed to any kind of a multi-rotor flying around, be it for hobbyists or, you know, in your case, commercial purposes. How are you going to get around the general public displeasure with this stuff?
Yeah, I guess you could equate it to, you know, similar displeasure or the idea of airplanes flying around overhead at one point in time. I think eventually The benefits are going to outweigh any of the concerns. And initially, I believe it's going to be slowly ramped up, where they may do it only for certain hours at nighttime or during certain points of the day and time, probably in limited numbers as well. So it's going to be a testing period. This technology here in the U.S. isn't going to be adopted immediately. It's going to be a few years off, but that's why we want to be ready for the market when it does develop, so we can be basically the first one there and establish the market.
Well, one of the other things you have to worry about, and this does make the news, is some angry neighbor with a 12-gauge. I've seen more than one report of hovering multi-rotor getting shot down. Have you guys thought of any kind of countermeasures or alternate plans, just in case somebody does take a pot shot at you?
Well, if somebody does it near one of our appliances, we actually have cameras on the outside. So with today's modern facial recognition technology, they'd be easily identifiable. But I usually equate it to, you know, people aren't usually taking pot shots at UPS truck drivers driving by either. Although they're carrying goods, is it because of persons in there? Probably, you know, an autonomous vehicle, you know, might make it more likely, but hopefully they're speeding around quick enough so the pot shots will miss.
Hopefully. Well, most of the time, the ones that I've seen were in a hover.
Yeah.
And, you know, that makes it pretty easy. In forward flight, yeah, you'd have to be pretty good. And, of course, the range would be limited, too.
Yeah.
So chances are not too much. What about the FAA? What's their take on this?
Yeah, they're working in conjunction with the NASA, building the UTM, which is going to be like the FAA, air traffic control for autonomous flight. They got a lot of work ahead of them, you know, to get this all sorted out. There's going to be certain altitudes where they imagine these vehicles operating in, you know, basically segregated airspace. But it's a complicated thing that I think they're going to work out. One of the big reasons behind the technology itself and these big companies throwing, you know, these large amounts of capital and lobbyists behind it is because, you know, we really envision it becoming a standard as a form of transportation for anything that can be carried by a delivery drone. It eventually will be, simply because of the cost savings associated.
Yeah, if it's a book or a DVD or something like that, it's easily deliverable.
Yeah, there are limitations, of course, in dimensions and you know, weight. So there's still going to be UPS and FedEx, you know, delivering those things that can't be delivered by a drone. But if it fits on a drone, it makes more sense to send it by a drone.
I was going to say, you're not going to go and put a pair of truck tires on this thing and deliver it.
Not yet, no. Not with current technology.
No, that's a bit of a long way off. You know, another thing that people are concerned with, and I have to wonder about this myself. I'm not concerned. I figure it's going to all be handled. But the safety aspects of this, what happens if you have an emergency in flight with one of your appliances? What are you going to be able to do about it?
Well, you know, that's really up to the fleet operator to handle if there is an emergency mid-flight. What we can do is provide a safe harbor or a safe landing site that we know it's not going to collide with somebody. We can do our best to make sure it won't collide with somebody upon final descent. Then it would be up to a technician to go out and actually retrieve the vehicle itself from our appliance. But what we can do is provide the most data we can about the general surroundings. If it's going to be crashing down, you know, it can crash down at least and have some knowledge about what's happening.
That's interesting. Yeah, because there's a lot of people out there that have had, you know, things go wrong. I've seen them throw propellers, and that's, you know, with a four rotor, that's generally a non-recoverable accident. A six rotor, though, believe it or not, I've seen them fly with five.
Yeah,
and that's probably a good design for your aerial vehicles. More than four. That way, in case you do have, you know, one motor decides, that's it, Harry, I'm done, you're still flying along safely.
Yeah, and please keep in mind, you know, we can reduce the possibility of risk in collision, but we can't eliminate it completely. There's always going to be variables that are out of our control. But
it's that way with everything. Yep. When you wake up in the morning, you take the risk of the unknowns, yep. And people just, you know, they will adapt as required. Well, we're sitting here talking to Joe McMillan from Drone Terminus here. You have a website, right?
We do. It's www.droneterminus.com.
Check it out and look it up. My name is Fast Eddie, and this is EAA Radio.